Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women of Wisdom, everyone. And today we also have the men's perspective of Women of Wisdom. And we are happy enough to have Prince Alexa on with us, but he's not going to talk about his day job, which is a fashion photographer for Vogue. And for those of you who live under a rock and don't know what Vogue is one of the most popular women's fashion magazines, I guess, worldwide in the country. And I believe, I know they have a teen Vogue. I know they have, I believe that they have a men's Vogue. But Alexa is not here to talk about this day job, even though I could talk about his day job, but he's here to talk about his book, and his book is filled with formulaic advice. And before we went on, we were actually laughing about his title of him being a prince, and this is why the book was created. The book was created for his son as a first birthday gift, and it's filled with fatherly advice. So I am really excited and nervous to talk about this with him and talk about Vogue, and we're going to have a good time. So let me bring Alexa on, and let me take it away. Good morning. Welcome to Women of Wisdom. And my first question is why? Why did you begin this incredible journey of not only working for Vogue, but writing the book?
Well, I guess the photography side of things started very early on. I think around the age of 11, I started to get an interest in photography, and I loved movies. So anything to do with narrative, I loved. And I used to sort of get my younger brother and sister, who are much younger than me, so they had to do what I told them. I used to get them to act out these crazy little storylines for my camera. And that gradually over the years evolved into me being a fashion photographer. And I've been very, very fortunate with my career. And I've been a photographer now for 13 years. And I started in London and in Paris, and then I moved over to New York about 10 years ago. And I've been lucky enough to work for different Vogues around the world, different Harper's Bazaar magazines, lots of commercial clients. And, so that's that side of things, which I've been very fortunate to do. And then my book that I wrote was really about, it was intended to be one copy on my bedside, on my son's bedside table. And it was for his first birthday. I wanted to give him something momentous. And I didn't really know what to give him. And, you know, some people suggested a piece of jewelry, something that would last forever. And I realized that what I had learned from my Polish side of the family, which dates back 500 years, is that possessions, material possessions are fleeting. In the sense that my family, the Polish side of the family, they were royalty. They had castles and palaces and land and art, and up until the Second World War. And then all of a sudden, in one generation, everything disappeared. So for me, it was a big learning lesson to sort of think, what can you give somebody that will last forever? And I realized that for me, it was about love and knowledge that I wanted to pass on to my son. So I started writing a couple of notes, and these are all notes that you've all heard from grandparents or teachers or parents or books, and it was about sort of life lessons, and it was almost as if I wasn't here next week, what would I have wished that I had told my sons? And so it's really a book of fatherly advice about how to be a good human being. That's the sort of more general way of describing it, but on a more personal way, it was a way for me to try and teach my sons how to make their title of prince relevant in today's world. My mother told me, I was living in Botswana as a child, and my mother told me when I was 11 years old about my title. And of course, as an 11-year-old, I was exquisitely excited to hear about this fantastic
yes.
news. And but she very quickly followed up with, but there's no lands, no palaces, all the castles have gone, there's nothing, you just have the title. So very naively, as an 11-year-old, I said to her, well, what's the point of the title then? And she told me this sentence that stuck with me forever and was really the genesis of this book that I wrote. And she said, if you want to be a prince in today's world, you have to be a prince in your heart and in your actions. And, of course, as an 11-year-old, you know, it registered a tiny bit, but it took me a long while to really sort of think about what it meant. And for me, as a young boy in my teens, you know, I used to think about what are the characteristics of a prince that we all know. And it was, for me, it was things like he's chivalrous, he's courageous, he's romantic, he's charitable, he's a leader. So it's all these good qualities of a person, of a human being. It doesn't have to be a boy or a girl. And for me, I started to sort of think, well, if I want to honor my ancestors and honor the title that they have passed down to me, then I have to try and act in a certain way. And it wasn't sort of, you know, riding around on my horses and deciding which silver spoons to pick out for lunch or anything. It was more about sort of just being a good person in your day-to-day life. Yeah, it's a lot to do with manners. It's a lot to do with, like I said, chivalry and being charitable and helping others. And so I wanted and it took me until I was at least 35 to really sort of feel comfortable with having my title in today's world and using it for proper purpose. And so this book is really a cheat sheet for my sons to help them marry their past with their present a lot quicker than I did. And that was it. And it was supposed to be just one copy on his bedside table. And I showed it to a friend who was an illustrator. And I asked him to do some pictures in it for him. And he read the yep. first 5 pages and he said, you have to publish this. Okay. Everybody needs to read this, because in today's world, in the age of social media and, you know, we are so caught up. Every second of your day is spent. There's no free moments. You know, if you have a free moment, you're on your phone, you're doing Twitter, your Facebook, your Instagram. This book is really sort of, my friend said this is really a book about taking a moment to breathe, to stop, to appreciate the good things in life, and but also to sort of to be a better person and not just, you know, and not ignore the world around you. I mean, I noticed on the subway in New York that when I get on, you know, I was always taught by my mother to make sure there's absolutely nobody else on the carriage who needs the seat more than you. You know, whether it's a lady, yeah. a pregnant woman, an older person, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I always get on, and by the way, I'm just as bad as everybody else when it comes to my phone. You know, I always have to force myself to get off my phone. It's an addiction. So I look on the subway and I see these young people get on the subway looking at their phone. They ride the whole way looking at their phone and then they get off looking at their phone. And they haven't noticed that there was a pregnant lady standing next to them who needed a seat, or they haven't noticed there was a beautiful girl or boy smiling at them across the seat.
Yeah.
So it's really about that. So I ended up, after 2 years of being persuaded by my friend to publish it, I finally had my second son, and I guess that sort of sealed the deal. And so I gently pushed it out into the world, and all the proceeds from the book go to an amazing charity called Concern Worldwide. They're an international charity.
Okay.
They are a fantastic charity that have been around since the 60s, and they work in 25 of the world's poorest countries, tackling poverty, bringing basic supplies to people. But at the same time as doing that, they have emergency programs going on. So anything that you see on the news, whether it's Ebola in Africa, whether it's Philippines flooding, whether it's refugees in Sudan, whatever it is, they are there on the ground immediately helping people get basic requirements and medication and et cetera, et cetera. So for me, it was just it was a very easy fit for me to sort of choose that charity, because I wanted to find a charity that was as far-reaching as possible, you know, something that as many people could relate to as possible, rather than being just a, for example, a cancer charity or a children's charity. This is a charity that kind of spreads across the board.
Yeah, I'm coming to find out that charities that spread across the board are easier to deal with than one single charity. I'm coming to find out. I mean, you could, due to your star power with Vogue, you could have chosen any charity out there, but I'm coming to find out myself that dealing with charities across the board that help all disabilities, in my case, all children, are easier than dealing with the single cancer charity or the single cerebral palsy charity, because it's, we all need to focus on a broader perspective than we need to focus on a one single cancer charity or the one single charity with cerebral palsy. And
right.
So when, I don't know how to ask this question, I'll ask it anyway, but when you decided, okay, this book is going to go to charity, what was your way of deciding on a charity? I mean, there's so many wonderful charities out there,
right.
And of course, with your title attached to Vogue, as I said, you could pick any charity in the world that you wanted to donate to.
Well, it was actually when I was, I always remember when I was in my, I guess about 13, I remember in some class at school, we were looking at the Bible, we were talking about the Bible, and I suddenly remembered opening one page and it said, you should give 10% of your profits or your profits to charity. And I always thought to myself, oh, that seems like a really nice idea. And it wasn't until I became a photographer that I finally had, you know, a check big enough that I could actually sort of, you know, spare some money for charity. And I remember I got my check in the post and I thought, okay, fantastic, I'm going to go and find a charity today. And as soon as I walked out of my apartment, the first person to stop me on the street was actually one of these people from a charity. And they said, hey, have you ever heard about a charity called Concern Worldwide? So it was actually a charity that I had given to for many years. And so it was an easy choice for me to make.
So it was, you were walking to the bank, walking to find a charity, and they came calling to you.
Yeah, they just pop, you know, there's people on the street when they're carrying their clipboards and their t-shirts, and they just stopped me, and it was fate.
It was fate. You were walking to figure out what I was doing, what you were going to do with this check, and then they stopped you, and then it melted into writing a book and donating it to charity.
Yeah, it was all meant to be.
It was all meant to be. So, what, if you're allowed to tell my listeners this, what has been your favorite experience writing the book and working with Vogue? I give you two.
I guess it's very interesting because they're two very opposing worlds
from the book and the
fashion world. You know, the fashion world, and so I was trying to sort of think about it the other day, and I realized that the fashion photography that I do is all about external beauty, and it's just the way it is. And then I realized that the book I wrote is all about internal beauty. So I thought there was some connection at the opposite end of the scales. But I would say I'll start off with my with the photography side of things. I suppose I'm very, very, very lucky in the type of photography that I do, that it's very varied. I mean, you get some photographers that are just studio photographers, or some people who are just location photographers or just portrait photographers. I worked for a very famous photographer called Mario Testino as an assistant, and he was one of these people who did every single type of photography. So I was very lucky to be schooled in that same way. So I guess that my favorite part of my job is the variety. So, you know, one day I could be shooting in the Sahara Desert, and the next day I could be in a studio in London. The next day I might be on a beach in Miami, and also shooting lots of different, you know, one day you'll be shooting a model, the next day you'll be shooting men, the next day you'll be shooting a celebrity or an actress. So the variety is fantastic, because each subject brings with it different challenges. So, for example, when I shoot celebrities, especially actresses, it's always an interesting challenge, because they, when you photograph them, they are just themselves. Whereas when they're in a movie set, they can hide behind the character they are playing. So it's very interesting, because you see them very raw, and
very interesting that you say that. Now I have to look closer when I'm looking at Vogue in particular, because I did notice that when I sat and looked at Vogue, the last time I looked at Vogue, which was two years ago now, and I did notice, I don't know who I was looking at, and I don't know if it was your work or someone else's work, but I did notice when I was looking at this person, she looked mightily beautiful in that picture, but yet very raw, so to speak.
Right.
But yet in the movies, they are full-on not raw at all.
Right, exactly. They have a whole character and a storyline to hide, to dive into. So very quickly in the beginning of my career, I realized that it was very difficult, because you suddenly have an actress who is very wooden in front of a photography camera rather than a film camera. So I realized very quickly that a little trick that I do is I have to give them a storyline. I have to give them a character to play. Even if they're in a white studio with nothing to play against, nothing, you know, no, they're not in a cafe or a bar or a car or anything, you give them a character. And I guess that's been some of my favorite people to shoot have been the people who really take what I say and then run with it. So I would say people like Kate Winslet is one of my favorites too. And she her body is a complete... I'll give her a storyline. For example, I say, you know, I want you to imagine you're in a Parisian apartment. I want you to imagine that you're having an affair, and you're in this apartment, and you just heard the downstairs door shut, and you could hear this man's footsteps coming up the stairs.
Yeah.
That's your character. And then she was like, okay, I've got it. And then I'll say action or go, and she will suddenly, the whole body will move in certain ways that it portrays an emotion. It's impossible to describe unless you see it, but for example, her shoulder will go slightly up, her eyes will flutter down, her ankle will twist inwards, and all of a sudden the shape of her body has projected this emotion of apprehension, of being excited, of I don't know, lust or whatever it is, but it's just incredible to see. And of course, sometimes I'm so in awe of what's going on that I actually forget to take the picture, and then my assistant is punching me in the shoulder.
Okay. So is that a tip that you came up with, or is that
It was just something that I don't know. I just, because I was seeing that I think I was shooting a celebrity, an actress, who I was so excited to shoot, and it was one of my first ever jobs. And when she got on set, she was like a piece of wood.
Oh,
I had to go in, move her arm, put it up, move her leg. And I was like, I could not understand it. And I went home and I thought, am I a bad photographer? What did I do wrong? And,
yeah.
And then I suddenly realized that maybe she just needed a character to play with, because otherwise maybe, you know, she hasn't, like any of us, she has insecurities as a real person, but as an actress, she is able to, you know, fly. So next time I shot her, I gave her a character and she, you know, she was incredible.
She took it. Yeah, because even with actors on stage, they land up engrossing themselves in the part that when it comes to a blank white photography studio, they don't know what to do. Unless they're given a role or unless they're given cues. Because they don't know what to do. I mean, their publicist says, okay, you have an interview with Vogue or Harper's Bazaar, and they say, great, and they think it's just a paycheck. Well, unbeknownst to them, Vogue is going out in front of millions of eyes, so you want to make it look good because it's in person of you, per se, as a photographer, but yet you don't want to make it too stiff looking.
Exactly, precisely. So it's a very interesting challenge, but one that I love, you know, every day, because every day is like a puzzle. So that's really on the photography side of things, and then on the book side of things. I mean, this book has been such a gift to me, really. This is not the knowledge. The writing in the book, like I said before, is not, I have not come up with this advice. You know, this is advice that the world knows. You know, everybody from your grandmother to your uncle to your teacher, books you read, they all speak about the same ideas. But I just wanted to put it all into one book. And it's been so humbling and rewarding in the sense of, because it was such a personal love letter to my son. So that when you put that out there in the world, up for people to sort of read into, then it's very difficult you're very worried about what people are going to think. So it was wonderful when I started getting feedback from, I would get letters from, mothers in Australia or a grandmother in Canada. And the mother in Australia wrote me this beautiful letter saying, you know, I have three sons. They don't have a father because we divorced many years ago, and I always felt bad that they don't have a father. But now I read them your book, and it makes me feel good that I'm finally able to tell them something of what a good father would tell them. These letters are so, you know, they're heart-wrenching. And then, for example, this grandmother in Canada, she called my office and she said, I don't know how to use the internet, but can you send me three books because I have three granddaughters and I want them to read it because I think it's going to be wonderful for them, but at the same time I want them to read it because I want them to know what to look for in husbands.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing. When a prince writes a book, they can use it as to basis to look for in a good and kind man, because you rarely find that nowadays. You really find a person that's not addicted to social media, as we talked about earlier, a person that's not addicted to looking like the fashion models, thank you very much, and a person that's just all around good person, whether it's man or woman, disabled or not.
Yeah, exactly. So I think hopefully this book will do two good things. If when I put it out there, I thought if only 10 people buy this book and, you know, they take one page from it, each one, and it does some good in the world, then fantastic. And then also, hopefully, we'll raise some money for charity. I mean, it's but it's really, I mean, it's really, like I said, it's just, it's about things that I think that matter. I mean, I'm very old school. I'm for want of a better word, I'm extremely cheesy. So I'm an old school romantic. You know, I love romance, and I think that there's nobody gives time for romance anymore. And I
No.
think this is one of the biggest, one of the main sort of characters in the book is about sort of giving time to these magical moments in life.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I got married, I was a bit disappointed that you only get an anniversary once a year, because it seemed like such a long time in between having to remind yourself why you're together and, you know, to celebrate your love or whatever. So I decided from my first month of being married that we would have a month-iversary. And the month-iversary, so on the 8th of every month, because we got married on the 8th, on the 8th of every month, I write my wife a poem. I give her a red rose, and I give her a single pearl.
Oh,
Because
cool.
it's a kind of
That's cool.
it's a kind of way, because I feel like love is a bit like, this is my theory anyway, love is like a baby. You can't
Yeah.
say, oh yay, we have a baby, and then put it in the corner and expect it to
No,
survive.
you can't. You can't do that. You can't do
So
that. And the human heart needs to be nurtured and needs to be loved, and it
exactly.
needs. You can't judge a book by its cover, and literally, you can't judge a magazine cover by its cover either, because you never know what that actress or that actor or that supermodel, the story behind them of why they came to the movies and why again they came to Vogue and why again they are doing what they're doing.
Exactly. So anyway, so that's really it. It's like, hopefully people will read it and take a few moments out of their day to sort of breathe deeper and you know, be nicer to people and go out of their way to help people.
And so where can people find you and where can people find the book?
On Amazon, on Barnes and Noble, all the usual outlets they can find the book, and me personally, they can find, if they can spell my name properly, then they can easily find me on alexeylubomirsky.com. That's all my fashion work, and through that you can reach all my other outlets of the written book and everything.
Yes, and give us the name of the book again, just so my listeners catch it.
It's called Princely Advice for a Happy Life.
Princely Advice for a Happy Life, and I love it. And you can find Alexa's book at Amazon, all the usual outlets. You can also find my book on eBooks everywhere and Amazon. All my work is on Amazon. Just type in my name and you pop up. And I presume if you type in Alex's name, you can find his work. And it's been a great pleasure for Alexa to take the time out of his extremely busy schedule and extremely busy day to speak to us about his book and how to be a better person.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you. And I hope you guys enjoyed another fabulous episode of Women of Wisdom. And even though we had the men's perspective twice this week, and it's been an honor and a privilege for me to interview everyone, and including people who work for Vogue, which I'm so excited to add to my resume. And I hope you guys enjoy the power of the voice and the power of the stories behind Women of Wisdom. And I hope you guys look for Alexa's work and my work. Thanks, you guys.